Greetings and welcome to another episode of the Wandering One Podcast. Hi, I'm back. The Wandering One Podcast is brought to you by Wandering One Studios and yours truly, Link Flores, as your host. How are you all doing? It is a brisk and breezy and rainy April 8th, 2026 here. I just want to say thanks again, everybody who's been sharing the podcast, everybody who's been listening. Thank you so much for all the support over on Patreon. You guys rock. I have another episode that'll be dropping by the end of next week. I'm going to try to make sure I put out at least a couple more episodes for the paid Patreon members over there, as well as an upcoming lore drop. For those of you who aren't familiar, I've been redoing some stuff on my Twitch channel. I'm going to be updating some of my merchandise for Twitch, as well as maybe some merchandise for Wandering One Studios. Those links are available in the description. If you are curious about seeing the current status of the shop, feel free. Know that those items are subject to change. So things are going to upgrade, improve, or maybe even be removed in a very short time. One of the things I've been doing is I've also been working on a book that I had basically in the back of my head for multiple years now. And I've started actually doing some more work on the book itself. One of the more, I guess not difficult things, but one of the things I've been thinking about lately is trying to find, putting together a style guide. That takes a little bit of effort because I have all the great ideas in my brain, but I need to put them on papers so that I can, plot out the course and, achieve an overall look and feel for the book. My art style has also changed a lot from when I first used to draw comics, so that's all getting jumbled together. We're jumping right into this, by the way. I haven't even bothered doing anything else. So for the Twitch channel, you can find me over on twitch.tv/linkib. Usually Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays around 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So that's one of the things I'm doing is I'm upgrading some of the look and feel for that channel. And as a segue or like a soft introduction into this comic book that I've had in my head for a very long time. So I'm working on some ideas for that. Some of those ideas are bleeding over into Wandering One Studios merch and just kind of augmenting, readjusting the look and the feel. Trying to make it a little bit more me, honestly. The reason it's slow going is, one, I've been in a real kind of like just slump last couple of years. Barely picked up a pen and paper to draw anything. I was struggling with my tablet here, which I've been picking back up again recently, and I'll be doing some more artwork there. But I was realizing that part of the struggle I was having was trying to force myself into a digital world when I'm pretty much an analog guy. And I think that there's definitely some tools that are available to me that I can learn and maximize my potential with. And I'll get to that. But I think for now, when it comes to producing the work in the way that I want to do it and with the speed and quality at which I know that it's possible for me to do, it's better for me to stick to what I know. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's kind of where I've been hitting a struggle point is one of the hardest things for some folks, if you're not into creative fields, and that's not to say that you can't be creative, but if you're not into focusing in creative fields, if you're not focusing your career path or your energies through, art or music or literature, that kind of thing. Sometimes one of the things you go is like, well, why don't you, I wish I could do what you do. And that's a wonderful and lovely sentiment, right? I think that's really great. And it doesn't actually bother me when people say that. The only thing that ever bothers me is when people go like, God, it must be so easy to do that. Try it. Just like anything else that requires any kind of skill or effort or training, like being able to draw, being able to pull an idea, let's not even go draw. Let's say being able to be creative, no matter what your field, no matter what you do, taking an idea that just exists in the ether in your brain and then being able to physically draw it out and place it somewhere in the world to make that thing come to life as opposed to just being an idea. I mean, it's the same thing as like the first guy to conceive of open heart surgery. The first person to put charcoal to wall and draw what they saw in a way that made other people go, oh, I know what that is. You know, the first person to, you know, apply tools to wood and craft a table. Taking an idea that is shapeless and formless in the void and actually bringing it to life requires a tremendous amount of energy. It's one of the things that I think people don't really often realize. And so if you see somebody who's creative and it seems like they're kind of like stagnant, think about what all else they have to do in a given day. And then ask yourself, if I had to do all that shit, plus I had to make literally something out of nothing on my own every day, how tired would I be at the end of each day? And maybe how over it would I get after a while when it felt like it wasn't respected enough or appreciated enough? I wasn't able to, no matter how good I was, right? I would never be good enough to be at this level, or people aren't willing to pay me this for that. They always want you to do something for free, or, you know, cut it down in price because you're my friend, you're my, you know, you're my brother, you're my coworker, whatever. Imagine how exhausting that whole thing has to be. And the reason why so many people who you know who have incredible creative talents end up going into very boring and mundane fields and never bother to pursue them. Because they know that the average person, while we love to consume art, of course, you know, we love to be regaled by it. We love to participate in the fantastical worlds and ideas and creations of the people who make creative things. We don't want to pay them for the value that they provide to our lives. See what I'm saying? Like, think about a world without art, right? Almost nothing that you see in your house would exist. It'd be, your clothes would look like basically nothing. You'd look like big shapeless blocks. You wouldn't have posters and paintings. You wouldn't have funky, cool furniture designs. You wouldn't have cool ergonomic chairs. You know, I mean, as far as colors, forget it. It'd be a sepia-toned world. Imagine a world with no vibrant yellows and blues and oranges, purples and greens and bright, stunning whites and deep, dark, rich blacks, and just a world that's basically devoid of a rainbow of colors. A meal with no spice. Purely just a nutrient block, something you eat to make your body move. There's art everywhere. And every time somebody is creating something and you're like, but yeah, but why? It's one of the things that drives me fucking nuts is that creative people aren't given nearly enough praise, recognition, or recompense for the value that they bring to our lives. For my Twitch channel in particular, since I brought it up and we're talking about it right now, everything that it's on that site that you're going to see, if you go to Streamlabs, right, my Streamlabs store for merchandise, everything that's up there was created by me. I didn't have any kind of AI, you know, slop featured on there. I didn't run a couple of words through some generative program and then it spits out something that kind of looks like what I want. I put pen to paper and pull thoughts out of my head to create this stuff because I wanted to give something back. If you're going to buy something from me, I don't want it to be something that's derivative. I don't want to feed a data center somewhere a bunch of information and have it ruin an economy, tear apart a town, destroy the water supply, raise electric prices. You're going to get something that I crafted. The same thing like when I cook or I bake something, right? I'm taking an idea, you know, whether it's a recipe that I see, one that I have to modify, or something I just dreamed up, and I'm putting effort and time and love into doing this thing for people. And there's few things as heartbreaking as knowing that that doesn't get nearly enough respect as it should. Not just for me, but for people in general. Like, you'll see so many people friends of mine even, who will lean heavily into AI driven this, AI crafted that. Oh, I made this, you know, poster with AI. Fuck you, okay? Fuck you. You could have, the amount of waste that you've created, the amount of other artists' work that had to be scraped together in order to cobble together this AI-generated bullshit that you're showing off as art, you could have given me 10 bucks. I could have made something beautiful for you, something unique, something you will never, ever get from anybody else, anywhere else. And you're turning to AI? Cool. Super cool. I know people who are like running, like they'll make songs with AI, and I'm like, I can't. I really just can't. And the fucked up part about it is, and this is what's happening, and people don't understand it, because you keep feeding AI all the stuff that everybody else makes. See, it doesn't just cook up something, you know, it's not like you talk to your Casio keyboard and it plays you a song, right? All those musical patterns and themes and those chord progressions, you know, the vocals that you hear, all that has to be created by somebody else somewhere else because it's a created thing. They say generative AI, it's really not generative AI. It's regurgitative AI. It grabs something from somewhere else, chews it up, and barfs it back out. There's no thought process. There's no soul. There's no intonation. There's no inflection. There's no passion there. There can't be. This thing does not have a soul. Do I think that AI can be incredibly useful and helpful in certain areas? Absolutely. There are definitely use cases for AI where it should and could be applied to actually alleviate the burden on the human beings that would ordinarily have to take on those tasks, so that they can free themselves up to maybe innovate new ways to do things. There is definitely an argument for that. I'm not so stupid, nor am I either, so like, you know, stuck in my ways that I can't recognize that some of this technology is actually a really good and positive thing. That absolutely can happen. The real problem with AI is less the fact that it is AI, it's the numbskulls who are using it in ways that don't actually foster a good environment in which we can live. You're doing stuff that does literally, not jokingly, literally take away jobs. Every time you create some AI bullshit, you know, illustration for your D&D campaign, let's say, right? Oh, I would rather just push this in the AI as opposed to paying my guy like 5-10 bucks to sketch up a character for me. Great. What those programs do is they pull all this different type of artwork. You say fantasy, orc, you know, dark fiction, medieval, blah, blah. So it goes and it searches the internet for stuff that's tagged with those, like, those buzzwords, those keywords. Which means it's pulling from millions and millions of different art sources. So you're scraping from the entirety of the creative power of the internet to create. So I've used this example before in the same kind of milieu with spoilers. Something was originally created with an intent and a purpose. That's why somebody creates a thing. They have an image in their head and they push through their own bullshit, you know, their own insecurity, their own personal fears and, you know, and worries about, is their stuff good enough to create a thing? Then they put it out into the world. You push a couple of buttons somewhere on a computer. That computer gobbles that stuff up that these other people have created from the internet and then just bleh, barf back out a product. It's not even creative. It's just product. There's no will. There's no love behind it. There's no vision. If you don't like what you get, you can't actually talk to it and be like, I want to reshape it. You're going to give it the same fucking words and it'll bleh, do the exact same thing. You can't get like subtle nuances right. You ever wonder how things has fucking problem drawing hands? Getting eyes to look right? Every time it digs back, though, from the internet and taking from everybody else and taking from everybody else, it takes away the capacity for those people to have jobs. There are actual studios right now who are literally bragging, we don't use AI for our animation. We don't use AI for character creation. We don't use AI when it comes to building worlds. We pay people to do work. There's an entire podcast network that has an ad that this is a such and such podcast, 100% human. Can you see, why? And it is the thing that really staggers my, just my, you can hear it in my voice, right? It puts a fucking stun lock on my brain. The people who are crafting this AI shit are doing it because they don't want to pay people. And the people who are feeding into it are the very people who also don't want to pay people, but they don't want to be broke. You feel me? So like, you don't want to pay an artist to create something for you, so you'd rather get something for quote unquote free from a guy who's definitely making money off of this shit, whether you realize it or not. And then before long, the artists that you know and, you know, could be buying this shit from are going to go out of business. Or they'll have to take a soul-sucking job that steals their joy, dims their light, and, you know, wears their passion down to a nub. You've killed art. You're killing art every time you support AI. Every time you use it for a creative purpose, you're killing art. You're killing artists. You're making your world a duller, more plasticine place. And I hope that you understand that eventually before all the joy and light has been scrubbed out of the world. Anyway, now that I've been on that rant, come and check out the stream on Twitch. And you know, like I said, there's a place, there's time and a place for AI, and it's mostly not wherever it's being used. That's the real truth of it. Like 80, I would say probably upwards of like 80 something percent of the applications in which human beings use it on a day-to-day basis are places where it doesn't need to be, and it's not well suited for that purpose. And it goes no further. You don't have to look any further than just what's coming out of Iran lately. Yeah, we're going to get to that part of the podcast too. But Iran has been dropping these. Now, this is one of the few times where I think it's actually kind of funny, even though I know it's definitely destroying something besides Trump's ass. These Lego videos that have been coming out of Iran where they're just basically dropping these banger fucking rap songs, dissing Trump and Pete Hegseth and just ripping them to shreds. They're hilarious. Don't get me wrong. I think largely it's basically what they've done is they've created like an AI Lego hip hop video as a diss track. Like, so like there's not enough creativity, like the Afro Man tracks, which are horrible in terms of their content, but are brilliant in terms of the way that they're crafted. But this is AI Drek. But it is kind of hilarious that they figured out a way to at least make it funny. And as someone so very eloquently pointed out the other night when the wife and I were watching some of the channels that we watch, like Reese Waters, Really American, the Midas Touch, you know, we check up on those folks on podcasts or on YouTube. And one of them said, like, it's really crazy that in a war of social media, we're cheering for the quote-unquote bad guys because we know that the real bad guys are our own government. It is funny to watch them get cooked and to watch them kind of eat themselves. And every time they take a couple steps forward, they end up getting hit with something else that just knocks them back down a peg or two. Or it catches them so off guard by the way it's so universally reviled by the American public. They're like, but I thought you guys voted for this. Yeah, well, I mean, they thought they voted for something, but it wasn't this. They'll never be able to get that off of their backs. I don't think we should let them either. I don't think we should let them get away with it. I mean, just look at what happened in Paris Island just past week, right? They actually sent ICE agents to Paris Island for the Marines' April 3rd graduation. And so this is from the Paris Island's own website, they cited an increased force protection measure, saying that federal law enforcement personnel would be present at the installation access points to conduct enhanced screening and lawful immigration status inquiries during recruit family and graduation days. Are you fucking serious? Certain family members just decided they weren't going to go. And here's the fucked up part about it. There could be absolutely no real reason for them to be corralled, but there really hasn't been any real reason for a lot of people who've been arrested or murdered by ICE or left to languish and die in ICE facilities or ICE custody. So why would we trust them? Why are they in the airports? That kind of shit. But this is Paris Island. This is our U.S. military, our Marines. And this is how we're treating them and their families. Find somebody who's MAGA and let them listen to this right now. Like, is this what you wanted? This is what you wanted, right? You wanted our future service members, people who you want to go and fight and die in the wars that you don't want to be in. This is how you want their families treated? This is what you want them to remember. The day they're graduating to become a full-fledged Marine, this is what they should have to think about? This is how their memory of this day should be tainted? By this? Okay. You go next. And I'm so honest with that. This is my ardent wish that everybody who voted for this asshole would have to actually strap up, put on some boots, sling an M16 over the shoulder, and go. Well, it's not M16, probably M4 carbine. But anyway, you go. You go fight. This is your choice. I think I mentioned it before. I forget who it was that said it, but I think there's like the best thing that could happen would be that, you know, you get like a voting ID. You get like your voter ID. Like they want, everybody's got a voter ID. Everybody's got a voter ID card. Okay, cool. The way ours works is you have a red card, a blue card, or like maybe a purple card or whatever, but basically it's red or blue. And depending on the way that you voted in the election, you get the red or blue treatment. You voted for Trump. Great. He wants to do a war in Iran. Get on the fucking bus. You're going. No. You wanted him. You got him. Now you get on the boat. You get your ass over there and you fight. I voted blue. I don't want none of this. You know, I'm going to go over here for all the blue stuff that we wanted. We wanted like, you know, we wanted individual, you know, basically like, you know, subsidized free, but subsidized healthcare for everyone. I'm getting up there in age. I need to get a colonoscopy. Wouldn't mind getting my teeth looked at. I definitely need to go to the dentist sometime soon. And shit, while we're at it, might as well get a urology appointment in there. Make sure all the pipes are working. I mean, I'm just going to go get some of that. And because I want to learn how to get better at what I do, maybe I'll use some of that, you know, subsidized. We call it free. We need to stop doing that. Basically, like subsidized health care, subsidized education. I'd like to take a couple of courses to learn how to speak another language and, you know, maybe get a little bit of a better handle on this digital art shit that I'm struggling with so much. I'm going to go get some of that. You go to the Strait of Hormuz. Okay, you fight. And when you come back, just remember, because you voted red, there's no VA for you. There's no Medicare or Medicaid. You got to make sure that you fight real good over there and earn lots of bonus checks or whatever the fuck. I don't know if you got to sign up for ICE to do that. But you go do that. We're going to be over here, you know what I mean, getting ready to live Star Trek life. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're using AI to, like, you know, generate food cubes and drinks and holodecks so we can, like, play sports and stuff like that with aliens. And then we'll create art. We'll work on furthering science and technical applications. You guys can go back to the Stone Age. You know what I mean? You can have your Handmaid's Tale life. Your child brides and, you know, abusing your wives and what you do, all that stuff. We don't want any of that. Like, that'd be the red and blue card thing. You only get what you vote for. So, I mean, there'd be fairness there. And I don't think that you're willing to let these people, these young people who are willing, and they believe that they're serving their country's best interest. God bless them. Or maybe they just feel like, I'm so desperate, I just need a job, and this is the only thing I could do. Good on you. God bless. But whatever the reason, they're doing this anyway. And this is how you're going to treat them. Very cool. Very, very cool. This is who you voted for? This is who you voted for? He's on that full grandpa's, you know, somebody take away grandpa's phone kind of shit. Open the fucking street, you bastards. Really? That's your president? That's your president. That is definitely your president. That ain't my president. You know it's nuts when, like, he says shit like this on fucking his social media bullshit, and it's actually making other MAGA and other Republicans go like, what in the fuck is wrong with him? Marjorie Taylor Greene actually talking sense again? Now, granted, she's still a horrible little shit, but she's like, we definitely can't have this anymore. She's like, I want, you know, a white Christian ethno state, but like, not this isn't the way to get it. Like, I'm pretty sure she's still a steaming pile of shit, but I mean, at least she's kind of like, this ain't it, homie. This ain't how we do it. You can give her at least that much. And then that's about all you can give her, but then you give her that much. I just think it's really hilarious that they don't see what's happening, even though it's actively eating them. Actively eating them. I mean, Pam Bondi, we probably all heard by now, Pam Bondi gets fired. That was a funny thing. I didn't even catch this. She gets told that she was going to get fired, I guess, on April 1st. And then she actually does get fired April 2nd, which is hilarious. Couldn't have happened to a more horrible person. Thank you very much, Pam Bondi. Get the fuck out. I like the fact that they were saying that she begged for her job. I don't know if she actually did or not, but I imagine her and her fucking pink raisinette looking face just crying for her job. That actually makes me kind of happy in a weird way. Just because she was such a harridan, you know, while she was in office, and she became more and more unhinged the more of, you know, Trump's dreck she had to swallow and spit back up in front of congressional hearings, in front of, you know, press briefings, in front of the American people. I think it whittled her brain away, and now she's just like, just in a corner somewhere, probably in a straitjacket, just drooling her brains out of her ears. But somebody brought up a really interesting point. Just like with Kristi Noem, who was fired and now is being replaced by Mark Wayne, yeehaw, cauliflower ear Mullen, Pam Bondi's next, Pam Bondi's successor, Todd Blanche, and it's like they get rid of the women there who are objectively not qualified and cruel for even worse men. They're worse, they're dumber, they're meaner, but they just put the forward face of like, we sure women in positions of power. yeah, a skirt can do anything a guy can do, right? Come on, let these broads in here. That's their thought process. And a lot of these Republican dummies voted for it, that they're like, well, my husband says it's fine if I vote Republican because at least he's going to put a white woman up there as press secretary. Caroline Leavitt's on her way to fuck out, too. They're going to put another worse and dumber man in that seat, and then y'all going to be watching. Trust me. Going to be watching how many more of them get dug out. Jeanine Pirro's only there because they couldn't find anybody else. Her drunk ass is too stupid to realize she's on the chopping block next, too. They're going to gut out all the women, and they're going to fire them. You saw how quickly they wiped their ass with Marjorie Taylor Greene. Once she decided she was going to buck the trend and not go with everything that Trump said, they couldn't shit on her fast enough. She was the litter box for the Trump administration. A pariah. After she sold her soul for not even a pot of a spoonful of soup, they wiped their ass with Marjorie Taylor Greene. Now she's trying to fight back, but it's like, yo, you're too late for that, son. The time to fight back, your hour of goodness has passed you. Like, right now, what you need to do is you need to shut the fuck up and go hide somewhere. Because you made all that damn noise for Trump. Now, like, nobody listens to you. You are the little boy who cried wolf, basically. It's unfortunate, but it's what they wanted. It's what they wanted. They didn't realize it's what they wanted, but this is what they wanted. I feel like sometimes deep down inside, like you see like more of the stuff like we talked about last week with Byron Nome and him being caught like, with this little balloon titty suit on, and the allegations, which we're gonna say they're allegedly, Mike Johnson being on Grindr and all these other politicians like Lindsey Graham having like secret, sexual private lives. It's like, I mean, which is fine, but they have private lives that they would deem shameful for other people, and they hide it. It feels like they actually do have kind of a humiliation kink, Like maybe that's part of being a Republican. Maybe that's part of being MAGA or a white nationalist, is just like a secret desire to be humiliated and even more emasculated than you would have been otherwise. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that's like. But think about just how often you see the horrible shit that they do, and the way that their women that they put up and elevate have treated the men in their lives. You know what I mean? Now, Caroline Leavitt, I can't really speak to her because it looks like somebody says she may have been catching a couple strays here from her husband, covering up what look like bruises on her face with makeup. If he's cracking her in the face, I'm not saying that she deserves that because I think that's horrible and a terrible thing to do to anybody. Even for, an absolute, soulless fuck like Caroline Leavitt, beating up a woman is just reprehensible in general. But I think that like some of the other ones, the way that they treat the men in their lives and constantly try to castrate them. Kellyanne Conway, Kristi Noem. Kristi Noem was so foul. She was doing her man out. On a presidential, like, I don't know, not president, but on a government-funded fuck plane. She got basically had her own fucking Motel 6 in the sky where she was cheating on her husband, and so was the dude she was cheating on. They were both cheating on their spouses, basically in broad daylight. And now that's homeboy's like, I'm gonna show you. He's like, bring out the balloons, And I just. I feel like sometimes when this kind of stuff comes out, like you got to look at it like, yeah, they both of them on both sides, men and women on the on that side of the aisle, there's some kind of deep-seated humiliation and shame kink that they express and they revel in. Like they don't know, they're not going to tell you right out front, but there's something about like it's like they know that they're naughty and need to be punished, kind of thing. You know what I mean? I don't know what it is. I can't get down with that. I can't get down with that. Once upon a time, a very long time ago, I had a girlfriend who suggested that we should try like whips and handcuffs. And I told her, if you ever in your life try to put handcuffs on me and whip me as a black man, I'll fucking kill you. I will twist your head off like a soda top. Just, there's no fucking way. Like life can't be shameful enough. I mean, look, if you're into it, that's fine. That's your business. I was just telling that for me, you ain't doing that to a black man. Not like that. You're not doing me like that anyway. I don't know. I can't speak for everybody else, but for this side, I'm not doing it. The first time a motherfucker puts a whip to me, I got to hurt him. It's bad enough that we get handcuffed. You know what I mean? Like if and you're gonna this is play for you now? It's play to hand? Hell no. And definitely not shaming me. You're not going to sit here and just try to embarrass me in front of everybody. That's a good way to get knocked the fuck out. And I'm, like I said, I'm not saying that you should lump up a woman, but we will definitely have some. I got sisters. I don't have to hit you myself. You're going to get knocked the fuck out. Somebody going to get you. It'll be my sisters. It'll be my mama. Don't you better pray it's my sisters. If it's my mama, she will put you underground. I heard her say that one time. She was like, I think about how crazy this woman's about to get, and I'm like, I gotta be grateful I don't know where she lives. I was like, oh shit, I forgot my mama's a thug. My mama's a gangster. I was like, I'll put this bitch in the ground. She didn't say it like that, but she was like, I'm just glad I don't know where they at, because I'd have to do something to her. I'm like, mm-mm. Yeah, I don't get the Republican thing though. That's just, I mean, it's just, man. Look, it's your thing, right? And I'll say it like this: I don't get it. you can have it. But if the reason you're, the reason it's a secret is because you feel shame about it, I get why you're up other people's ass about the way they do their stuff, you know, in private. I don't respect it, but at least I understand the reason why you're so anti-LGBTQ, you're so anti-women, basically. The reason why you stomp on other people so hard is because secretly, somewhere deep down inside, you know you're naughty and you need to be punished for it and you want to get stomped on too. That's business, but at least let's be honest about it. You know what I mean? And I think the funky thing is that people are crying for the 25th Amendment. And I was like, you know, yeah, wait a minute, hold up, what? And I started looking into it and I was like, we don't need the 25th Amendment to be enacted right now. That doesn't really serve the ultimate purpose of what, you know, it doesn't serve the ultimate purpose of addressing the grievances that the American people, I think, at large have with the Trump administration. What we need to be looking at is what I've been hearing more about lately, which is Article 2, Section 4 of the United States Constitution, which basically says that the president, vice president, and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. Now, I'm pulling this from the AnnenbergClassroom.org site. It says the Constitution provides that the president, vice president, and other federal officers can be removed from office upon impeachment by the House and conviction by the Senate. So it has to go through both houses. And we have a bicameral Congress for a reason, right? So it has to be impeachment by the House. They have to vote for impeachment and approve that. And then they have to be convicted by the Senate of treason, bribery, or other serious crimes. Now, with Trump talking all that shit and also saying out of his whole face that it would be, let's say, electric power plants in Bridge Day, that he was going to destroy Iran's infrastructure, that he's like an entire civilization could be wiped out tomorrow. That was him threatening genocide against the Iranian people. You know that, right? So much so that they're actually forming human chains around power plants and across bridges so that if and or when the United States starts sending, like, firing missiles and dropping bombs on them, those soldiers are now responsible for murder, for participating in an attempted genocide. Those are war crimes. That opens this up to being, you know, pulled in front of the Hague. They execute people for shit like this. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. If that's what's happening, again, same thing with the Epstein files. Well, what if this guy's in there? What if that, if they're in there? I don't give a fuck what color tie they're on. I don't care what side of the aisle they're on. They're criminals. If they're found to be criminals, arrest them. That's how the law should work. If you break the fucking law and you commit war crimes as a president, guess what? Use this thing, cut out the cancer, get it out of there. I don't care. It could be anybody. It could be anybody. And it should be anybody. No one should be above the law. Do we agree? Yes or no? Either we do or we don't. This isn't one of those, well, I guess, but only if it kind of sort of. No. It's either all or none when it comes to justice. That's the way it has to be. That's what makes it justice. Justice is supposed to be blind and just across the board, even for everybody. That's how it's supposed to be. It's not how it is most of the time, but it's how it's supposed to be. What better way to send the correct message to the American people and to the world than to actually exercise this? Now, just to go back to this meaning, so we can kind of dig into a little bit more about what this Article 2, Section 4 outlines as far as powers. The process was begun only three times in U.S. history against the president: Andrew Johnson, Richard Nixon, although he resigned before Congress could do it, and Bill Clinton. So the impeachment process is the start of everything, right? They usually get impeached, and then it all falls apart in the Senate, right? They're like, well, kind of. Because again, you know, a lot of our politicians, unfortunately, are pretty useless. And we thought we were voting for the good ones, and then we didn't. We found that we didn't. There's a lot of places I found that, like, oh, you weren't shit? Yeah, I kind of figured. Florida, I pretty much know every Florida politician that is not a Democrat, and even a good handful of the Democrats are going to be pretty dog shit. What are you going to do? I try to vote independent or Democrat whenever I can because I know Republicans definitely don't give a fuck. That's just a given. Look around the state. I don't have to point to much. You just take a look around Florida and see what Florida be Floriding about. And when Florida be Floridaing, you could tell. Like, there's a red tie back behind it somewhere. Yeah, there it goes. The impeachment process begins in the House with the vote to impeach. Then the president stands trial for accusations in the Senate. It said the president or whatever other accused government official. The Chief Justice of the United States presides at an impeachment trial for the president. Which is going to be bad because you know. You just know. So what we really need, too, is also a way to clear out the Supreme Court. And lifetime appointments need to be a thing of the past. You should not have the ability to have a lifetime appointment, you know, for anything, really. But for a Supreme Court justice, you should have a maximum, I think, of 10 years. This is, and now, the reason I say 10 is because it kind of puts you in the middle of a primary when your tenure would run out, most likely, or you'd be at the end of possibly a two-term back-to-back, like a back-to-back two-term president. And you know, so you either get appointed by somebody and then like you got, you know, whatever going on and then you got those two and then you're out. New one, change it up, new roster. You know, in all impeachment trials, members of the House are served as prosecutors and the full Senate sits as a jury. The accused official must be convicted by a 2/3 vote of the Senate to be removed from office. That's also ridiculous. But I get it. I guess in the interest of trying to keep things, you know, they'll have to be like, do we all agree that we take this, or do like the majority of us, like a significant majority of us agree that this person is so out of pocket that we have to take this incredibly drastic step to remove them? I mean, it's ridiculous that it's going to take that much because it'll almost assuredly get killed by Republicans because they can't fucking get their shit together. And like I said, that handful of Democrats that always seem to be the ones dicking around with shit, like John Fetterman should just come out as a Klansman. I think that maybe he had that shit. They're like, he has a brain injury probably from all this shit. Yeah, okay. Now, if you're brain damaged, you shouldn't be serving in the Senate or the House or as a president. You know what I mean? Like, you want somebody with their full faculties. He said it himself. Making fun of Gavin Newsom because he has a learning disability is like, yeah, but at least the guy's not brain damaged. Having difficulty, like with, you know, struggling with dyslexia is not the same thing as whatever the fuck you got going on, Sundowner. The same thing with Fetterman, too. They're like, oh, he got probably brain damage. Well, then why would you want him to, would you let him watch your kids? No? Then why do you want him watching the fucking state? Why do you want him affecting the country? Get him out of there. He needs to be somewhere where he can get care, he can get medical attention. You know what I mean? He can live out his life in peace and not have to have all this extra pressure and stress, which obviously is going to affect anybody who's already dealing with mental struggles, right? Throwing more stress on them, has that ever helped anybody? You know what I mean? So this is what we need to be looking at. If you know anybody who's in politics or if you have a means to write your, you know, state or local officials or whatnot, especially particularly right now, ask them to press for a motion to impeach and to force this thing all the way to the top. And then if the justices won't act on it, have them also work on, hey, we need to write an amendment to make sure y'all can't just be sitting here forever. And but when this thing kicks in, you got 2 years, you're on the clock. Tick tock, motherfucker, let's go. 2028, you're all out. Everybody out, get them all out. All new justices. And we're gonna bring this shit back down. Five. We don't need 17 fucking justices. Five. It's good enough. You can break a tie with five people. It's so stupid that they just keep inflating the court. Why? Why? Sorry, you can tell I'm very clearly upset about this. And I have been for a very long time. We're gonna move on and just It's just a lot. There's just a lot of crazy shit going on, though. But I mean, so why wouldn't I be upset? You know what? It's probably because I didn't eat breakfast this morning. I didn't eat breakfast. I had myself some tea, which is great, but it is not a breakfast make. Oh man, and now it's cold. I'm gonna put this to the side. I can't drink that anymore. Sorry for doing that on the air, but I'm struggling. Actually, you know what? Let's go for this. Real quick pause, and we'll see if we can get this set up. Okay, so I skipped it last week on accident, but I'm gonna bring it back today because I just thought about breakfast, and we're gonna get our Korean and Spanish, our Spanish and Korean word of the week is breakfast. How about that? Because I didn't have any, I need to think about it. So I actually do know the word for breakfast in Spanish. It's desayuno. I've known that for a very long time since I was a kid. So desayuno is how you say breakfast in Spanish. And achimsiksa, it's achimsiksa, sorry. Achimsiksa is how to say breakfast in Korean. Achimsiksa. So we got desayuno for Spanish and achimsiksa for Korean. That's how you say breakfast, which is what I'm going to get after I'm done recording this podcast. I need to eat something. I got to use the milk that I got. Because I got a different kind of milk, and I'm pretty sure that it's going to be more gooder. Because the Fairlife milk, which I think is great as far as like lactose-free milk is concerned, I feel like maybe there's not enough, or something's maybe a little bit off with it. Because it's like they're like, yeah, you can keep this milk in the fridge for up to 14 days from the date of opening it. I'm like, I don't know if that's necessarily how milk should go. This other brand that I got, which I forget the name of it, and I'm not running to go get it right now. They're like, yeah, use within 7 days. I'm like, that sounds more like milk. And I did actually have some the other day with some cereal because I had to buy it because my other shit ran out. The Fairlife that I had actually spoiled. I had it for so long, like I said, 14 days. You don't even think about it until you're like, man, did I use that milk or did I throw it out? Oh shit. So I had to run out and get some milk for my cereal for breakfast that morning. And I got it. I brought it home, popped it open. Tasted great. Actually, I'm like, shit. If I had poured this in anybody else's cereal, they'd be like, yeah, milk. It's just milk. I'm like, nah, it's lactose-free milk. I'm like, ooh, neat. So I'm pretty stoked about that. So yeah, I definitely need to get some breakfast here. Because you could tell that it's kind of rambling around in here. Yeah, and we were, I mean, just to cap it off, like we were talking about the idea that there were two B-52 bombers that were let loose last night from bases in the United Kingdom. And apparently, like, as they were on their way to, quote unquote, to do whatever they were going to do, suddenly a ceasefire deal was reached via Pakistan. Like, what the fuck does Pakistan have to do with it outside of the fact that they're in the same general area? Like, how are they involved in these conversations? Like, what are they giving us? My thing is that I'm guessing that they flew those bombers out of the UK over to Pakistan, and they're like, well, we want this from you. And Pakistan's like, sure. But if you don't deliver, guess what? We just got two B-52 bombers. And they're so stupid. Like, Trump is the worst negotiator ever. He's the worst businessman ever. How the fuck do you make casinos lose money? It's a license to basically rob everyone blind, and they know it, and they come in there to do that, and you still manage to lose money running a casino. Okay, so yeah, I was telling the wife when they were like, "It's like what happened?" I'm like, "Well, gas is expensive as fuck, and our allies are cutting off our supply lines. They're telling us to remove troops and clear out our bases and stuff like that." I was like, when they flew them B-52 bombers out, but they didn't actually do anything. I said, it was like, ain't got no gas in it. It was some Sling Blade shit. It was like, we got to fly these somewhere so we can get some gas. Let's go to Pakistan. And they're like, we ain't got no gas in it. That's just like Donald Trump's threat, ain't got no gas in it. We're going to do this. Yeah, we changed our mind at the last minute. It reminded me of The Rock, the movie The Rock, where Ed Harris's character, the general, was supposed to fire a rocket into the city with his VX gas. And at the last minute, he made it detour so it splashed down in the ocean and detonated without killing anybody. And one of his lieutenants was like, oh, He's like, they'll think it may have been a malfunction. He's like, no, they'll know that we did it on, they'll think we were cowards because we weren't going to carry through our threat. He's like, no, we're not going to murder innocent children. So they made it look like a malfunction. He's like, oh, that's great. And I don't think we're cowards. They think we're incompetent. Yeah, that's kind of what's happening right now. We don't necessarily know that, we know you're a coward, but we also think you're incompetent too. And maybe I just need to get out a little bit more. I'm having some weird dreams lately. If you haven't checked out the Patreon episode that I put out this past week or so, about a week or so ago, you should go check that out. It is available for paid Patreon members. I talk about some of the various dreams that I've had, some of the loose interpretations that you can get from different dream journals and, interpretive websites and what books and stuff like that. Man, I had this. I mean, these dreams are making me worry that I might need a vacation. You know what I mean? That would be dope, actually. I would just love to just take a vacation at one point and just go and be somewhere. I'll take my fucking sketchbook and I'll take my Nintendo Switch with me. That's it. I mean, I'll take clothes and shit like, but as far as anything else, like that's about it. I'll just go and sit there, catch up on some old Nintendo games and just draw. Just sit out. I miss being at the beach. I used to love doing that, going to the beach and just being able to sit out there and draw. Might have to just do that just for the hell of it one day. I mean, that's not a bad idea just for anybody, you know what I mean? Just to get away, get out to nature or something like that. Just take some time away from everything. Just be with your thoughts. A lot of people are like, I can't be with my thoughts. We need to fix that. That's a you problem that you can actually fix. You can make that work. You can figure that out. Go do that. Do that. Get better at doing that. But it has been good to get the groove back with the artwork, though. I mean, it feels really good. And there's a local coffee shop here that I want to try to go and visit more often. Excuse me. Sorry. It's called Spring Park Coffee. Shout outs to them because they have a pretty chill little vibe, but I miss coffee shop culture. I think if there's anything I miss from living in Chicago and living in Boston, it's actually having a good local coffee shop that you could just go and just, it's like vibe farming when you get there. You're just sitting there chilling. Everybody else is like on their own, just kind of just doing their own thing. And when the vibes are on point, it's such a great feeling. It's super conducive to being creative too. Like there was a place in Chicago that I used to go every now and again called the Wormhole. And I think it still exists, but it was very much like an 80s, 90s themed cafe, but it was like very geeky, nerdy kind of stuff. They had a full size replica of the DeLorean from Back to the Future in the front window. Just so you get the idea of what the vibe of this place was. They also had like various little TVs with like consoles that were set up. Like Sega Genesis, N64, that kind of thing. But all the games that were there were multiplayer. It wasn't just single player games. You had to like play with your friends. They had board games that were stuffed away in like bookshelves and cabinets and stuff like that. They had books just everywhere, just random books. And you could leave a book. I think you could even take a book too, but they were like take a book, leave a book kind of thing. And people would just go there and chill, man. They had like a bunch of old furniture that they had repurposed from, whatever shops or people donated or whatever. And it was just the coolest fucking vibe. And there would be times when like I didn't have anything going on. Like I wasn't at work. And I didn't have anything just going on personally, right? Maybe I just like I had like a day or two off every now and again. Just working like restaurant jobs or security jobs. Sometimes you would get lucky and get like 2 days back to back. Right? I'm like, oh shit. Well, I'm gonna take this day and maybe I'll do something on this day. But then like the day before I go back to work, I just want to vibe and I would just go and hang out there and just chill. I'd go there and I maybe spent like 10, $15 total. I get like two drinks, tip a couple bucks, maybe more. But like for $20 to hang out for like 4 or 5 hours, just chilling and drawing, maybe read a book. I actually miss doing that. It was also a lot easier when you had public transit. You have to worry about driving anywhere or parking or any of that bullshit. Just hop on a train or a bus. Do 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 do. 15, 20 minutes later, I'm at the place. They're making my latte or whatever, and I go and sit in my corner, read my book, draw my stuff, and then I'm out. You know what I mean? But I could spend the day there. I really could. Or go to a bookstore and do that. Now, a lot of bookstores have cafes in them now. But I mean, I would love to go to some place. I would love to go to like a big chain bookstore that didn't have a big chain coffee shop in it. Yeah, I mean, like they maybe they work with like a maybe they work with like in their local area, right? Like if they have like a coffee, you know, a coffee brewer or coffee roasting company, they get their coffee from there and then they ship it to their other locations, right? So Barnes and Noble, wherever they're from, had a local roasting company. They're like, oh, we work with them and then we send our beans to each of these cafes and you get what we get over here. Oh, that'd be dope. Or they would encourage you like, hey, wherever you're at, find a local coffee shop and or local roaster and work with them. That would be awesome. Again, $1 million business idea, that'd be great. Imagine that kind of pairing though with like a local coffee shop and a local bookshop getting together to create a powerhouse little thing. Like there's a bunch of like used bookshops around town. Imagine having one that would be like, yeah, we combine forces with, you know, ABC Brewers over here, right? We got all their exclusive coffee blends available here. You know, we go down to Frank's Used Books and we can hang out there. Maybe pick up a book. You know, we spend like, you know, maybe 20, 30 bucks. That'd be a fucking killer date too. Imagine. I used to love doing that shit when I was single, just meeting somebody at a coffee shop or whatever, a bookshop, especially if you have a coffee shop with books or vice versa, like a bookshop with coffee. It's such a chill date. And it's just a great way to get to communicate with somebody and to get to learn a little bit about them like in a passive way too. Because you get to see like what kind of books they pick up. You're like, oh, that's what you're into. Yeah? All right. Cool. It's funny because people will often, like, sometimes people will pick up shit that just makes them look better than they are. But every now and again, that one little tell. They're like, okay, I see that about you. You tried to hide it. You tried to be sneaky with it, but I seen you. And I watched you when you walked around that corner. You took a quick turn, took like two lefts and went down three rows. Yeah, that's the stuff you really want to see. That's what you're really here for. That'd be a great date idea, though. Bring that shit back, right? Now, yeah, it's crazy. But anyway, I was talking about dreams and stuff and vacation stuff. I had this crazy fucking dream the other day that I was going out to run errands in the Mustang. And at some point, I don't know what happened, but the car's computer took over. This happens occasionally. The computer in this car will make like the passenger's side view mirror like tick, 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 and vibrate and turn like almost like 50 degrees in the opposite direction from where I need it. So I can't see out of it. Happened to me the other day and I almost sideswiped somebody because I couldn't see and I didn't notice that it was doing it when I was letting the car warm up. I turned the car on, went back inside to grab something. And by the time I had come back out, it had gone through its weird little spastic phase and was locked in the wrong position. Now, ordinarily, before I back out of the driveway, I will check all the mirrors, you know what I mean? Check. I'll adjust the rear view mirror, you know, make sure the seat's set right, that kind of shit. I always do that. This one day I didn't. I almost sideswiped somebody because that mirror was poorly positioned. Anyway, I think maybe it was that kind of got me thinking on this track in my subconscious. But then when I went to sleep, I had this dream. And again, your subconscious is working through stuff. Not everything is a direct one-to-one. But it is one of my fears that one day the car will just have some kind of computer seizure and I'll be locked out of being able to control it. And this is what happened in the dream. Like I was at a stoplight and the car stopped, stalled, and turned off. I was like, what the fuck was that? Then it turned back on. It was like maximum overdrive. The thing was dedicated to trying to kill us. So I tried to call like OnStar, which for some, we don't have, but for some reason I was doing that. And I'm like, hey, the car is doing this. They're like, all right, have you tried doing it? I'm like, I can't turn it on and turn it off. It just did that to itself. So it's fighting me when I'm trying to steer it. And I managed to fight with the steering and get it into like a dockside like mechanic. It was really weird. I was at like some maritime, it was just like a seaside loading dock kind of thing. And I was driving by there for whatever reason. And I guess it would have just been like a normal mechanic shop for where they work on, you know, the forklifts and other trucks that would come in and out of the docks. And man, so, I mean, it was driving backwards. That was the thing. It was driving backwards. So I'm sitting here trying to look behind me, steering, you know, reverse of what my instincts were. And like, you can pull it up into this bay over here and that should be able to help you get this. And like, they were trying to guide me to like an empty loading bay. But the car was fighting hard to kill me and everybody else. So it drove into one of the mechanics bays, You know, the ones that have the little hydraulic lifts in them? So it drove me into that while people were in there working, and it slammed into the wall, almost killed two dudes. I was honking the horn like beep, 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 beep. I'm like, I can't stop it. And then when I smashed into the thing, they come yelling at me. I'm like, I can't. I was on the phone trying to figure out, I don't know what happened. This thing tried to kill both of us. Why would I drive at fucking 60 miles an hour ass first into this bay? Who would do that? And then warn you about it? Like, if I wanted you dead, I would have just run you over. And these dudes were yelling. They were like swinging wrenches and shit. So I picked up like a wrench too. I'm like, I'll fucking fight you all. And then this one guy's like, hey, hold on. Some dude broke in, and then in the middle of it, he's like breaking up the whole thing. The car was totaled, by the way, because so it wasn't going nowhere. It wasn't killing nobody else. And the dude was like, hey, man, can you have milk? And I'm like, not really. Can't really eat dairy. He goes, oh, man, it sucks. We had some food here. I hope you want to see if you wanted some. And he pulled out like his whole pasta. You know, they had that, I forget what it's called. I think it's ricotta or raclette. So they basically cook a giant wheel of cheese, and then they just scrape it onto like a plate of pasta. They had like a that kind of pasta there, and they were like, "You would love this stuff." And I'm like, "What the fuck?" I had seen that earlier in the day, so I know where that came from. I'm like, but why would I want? I'm like, I do kind of like the idea though. A big old plate of pasta and cheese sounds awesome. Sounds like it's be a nightmare for your stomach, but it does sound like it'd be delicious. I would love to try it, but I know I'd die. Maybe I do need a vacation. I was also wondering, why do they have that in the garage? Why do you have that? I think it's called raclette. It's like, why would you have that in the garage though? I think they were just like, you know, somebody ordered it or whatever, but they had the wheel. Like, it wasn't like you ordered the wheel and brought it with you. Like, that's crazy. I have been loving the rain the last couple of days, though. Like, it's rained almost all day yesterday. It's been pretty dry so far today, although it's projected to rain some more here in a little bit. But yeah, it's been pretty nice. Like, in the next like hour or two, we're supposed to see some rain. Yeah, within the next hour. And it's supposed to continue to rain almost all day, which is it's gonna be great for the yard work I did. Y'all don't know this, but I dropped a bunch of soil up. I don't think I mentioned this because I don't remember if I said anything about it. No, because I just did it. That's why. Yeah, I went and picked up some topsoil for the front yard. Now I need a lot more. I think I talked about it on the pod on the stream, so I maybe have lost the plot a little bit, but I dropped about 160 pounds worth of topsoil in the front yard. And then the very next, that was Sunday, the very next day, Monday, just out of nowhere, just boom, rain. It rained a little bit, I think, on Sunday too, but not as much. And then, like, you know, I was like, oh, what's the forecast for? And they're like, Monday, rain, light rain. Tuesday, rain. It rained almost nonstop all day yesterday. Which I love. I absolutely love a rainy day. It's great for sleeping. Oh my God. A rainy day nap, the best. It's also been the reason why I've been tired too, because as you can hear, like I'll sleep only like a couple hours a night. And I slept okay the last couple of nights. But it does mean that I go to bed really early lately because the rain is just lulling me to sleep. And I'm like, oh, yeah, baby. By the time, like, fucking, you have dinner, like, I made a great, like, you know, beef and broccoli thing for, like, beef and broccoli for, like, rice bowls. It was awesome. Stuffed that down, watching movies and show, like, watching, like, TV shows. I call it movies, just YouTube videos and shows and shit with the wife. And I'm starting to doze off. She goes to lay down. I'm not quite tired yet. But then, like, maybe like an hour or so later, I realize it's like 1 o'clock. I'm like, I probably could go to. Before I know it, I'm snoozed out. I had some kind of bonkers dream last night. I don't really remember what it was. I mean, it was something about an old apartment building. An old apartment building that was like next to a college, like in Chicago sometimes, like city or local colleges will sometimes co-opt an apartment building and they'll like use that as their dorms, so to speak. Or they'll like form like rental agreements with certain places. Like, hey, if you let our students live here for this, that, and the other, we'll pay for this, that, and the other, right? Kind of shit. But yeah, it was something like that. Along those lines, not exactly that, but it was something like that. Anyway, yeah, I did the yard work and I slept like a baby Sunday night and then Monday too. And of course, last night I was like, yeah, I'm going to lay down, snort out. And then like 6 o'clock just sat straight up, like, got to get up. So I was up like, freaking, I mean, at least a good like hour and a half earlier than I normally would have been. You know what? Damn it. I just said I wasn't going to drink this tea because it was cold. I'm like, no, 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 no. It tastes good, but it need to heat it up. But yeah, man, that yard work, dude, I got the soil down. Yard work is fun. I actually don't mind yard work. And it's great exercise, too, especially if you're slinging dirt like that. Now, what I do need to do is go and pick up about another quarter ton of it to put around the rest of the yard. And then basically I need to fill in the backyard just to kind of top it off, no pun intended, with topsoil. And help it kind of enrich itself a little bit. The side yards are weird because they're only like maybe an actual like a strip of grass like 1 yard to 2 yards wide. And even though they don't get a lot of sun, they get a lot of rain. So they've just grown. It doesn't matter what you do. You can't kill that. But the front and back yards are just torched. So I need to put some more soil down. And I figure if I get like about another quarter ton of that soil, it might take me like the better part of the day to put it all down. And definitely that day I'm going to be hurting a little bit. But I'll be honest, like after I came back in from doing just that little bit in the front yard, did some stretching, took a shower, did some stretching, drank water. I felt great the next day. I think the only thing I did was take two Aleve just so I could sleep. I had like a little bit of cramping in my feet because after that I also stood up and made pizza. So I was standing all day long and leaning over the fucking wheelbarrow thing to like throw out dirt and shit. But yeah, I mean, I felt great. And I like doing physical activity anyway. I mean, I don't mind exercise at all. In fact, I'd probably work out more if I had a weight bench, or at least if I had some weights to put to anchor down our heavy bag in the garage. If that was the case, I would work that heavy bag more often. That was one thing I never really got to take advantage of when we had it the first time, because it wasn't weighed down. And I don't want to run all thread through the ground in this garage. I'm worried that I'll destroy the foundation worse than it probably already is. But yeah, I would work out more. But yard work's a good substitute. There's places called Blue Zones that you'll see around the world. There's a couple, more than a handful of them in Japan. We were watching a video about that the other day, and there's like these people live there, and they're in their like 70s, 80s, 90s. And like one of these dudes is like 78 or 80. And he was sitting like crisscross applesauce, basically pressed up off of his butt while he was sitting like that with his hands. And then was able to keep his legs folded while he was holding himself up. And then like unfolded his legs and could just stand straight up like from a seated position like that. I'm like, bro, yeah, do this. He's like, yeah. He's like, well, we work in our garden, so we're constantly getting up, moving down, getting up, kneeling down, getting up, kneeling down, getting up, kneeling down. He's like, we don't sit in chairs when we eat. We sit on the floor. So when you get up, you have to actually stand all the way up. He's like, it's just better for your body. Your body has to move. I'm like when you're sitting in a chair, you're almost already like halfway up. But if you're sitting on the ground, you have to actually and rise up. And I'm like, you know, that might be the next move, you know? Instead of getting like another ergonomic chair or whatever, I maybe have it for gaming, but do a setup where it's a little bit, where it's able to be more low slung. Like I can set it lower to the ground so I can actually sit on the ground and game and stuff like that. And I don't have to worry about like all that extra joint pain and stuff like that as I get older. I don't really have a lot of that now. I mean, I had a little bit of it I think I may have got like some kind of weird parasite or something. But my joints were on fire for a little while there. I'm like, I don't like this. But I don't really have that kind of like a lot of my friends who are like younger. They have a couple of friends that are like in their like early mid-30s. And they're like, oh, my back. Oh, my knees. Oh. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, man, you guys are falling apart. Like, I'm almost 50, and I'm like, I don't have any of those problems. You know, maybe I can't eat bread and cheese and all that bullshit like that, but you know what I don't hear? Snap, crackle, pock every time I stand up. I'm not constantly have a chiropractor. You know what I mean? I'm not chewing fucking Advil every day. That must be rough, dog. Like, but if you get up and move, it helps. I did it again. I'm putting this on the fucking, I'm putting this away from my hand. This is the second time I've taken a sip of that cold ass tea. Oh my God. And maybe a little bit more sleep probably would help. A vacation would definitely help. Some new clothes wouldn't hurt. New clothes wouldn't hurt. I was looking at this website called Hanfu Modern. I'll put it in the description so you guys can give it a peek. There's some stuff that's on this site that I've always wanted. And I'm like, I can rock. I'm not like, I think I've kind of passed the point of like trying to worry about being cool. I think I was past that a long time ago, honestly. But now I'm just like, whatever makes me happy, makes me feel good, I'm gonna wear that shit. I'm gonna put that shit on. And it's so hard to just find, like, I just wanted just some regular, like, loungewear, like, athleisure kind of shit that wasn't super tight. A lot of people want to wear this shit that's, like, skin tight to them. I'm like, I'm not training for the NFL Combine, bro. I'm just trying to be chill in my house. You know, I got jeans. I'd love to get those tailored so that they're a little bit more flexible in certain areas. Because Lord knows they don't make jeans for the brown folks. You're walking around with a little bit of a chunk and a little bit of junk in your trunk. They don't cut jeans for you. They just don't. Like, I've known it forever, and it's been high time that I went and actually got a pair of jeans tailored. But that's neither here nor there. I've seen a bunch of places where they make the kind of leisure wear that I could actually get into and appreciate, and it'd be comfortable, flowing, relaxing. I'm like, that looks so comfortable. I could definitely go with the new wardrobe. I could probably replace almost everything that I currently own, because almost everything that I have is at least 5 to 8 years old. I've been wearing the same fucking t-shirts and same fucking pairs of jeans for like 5+ years, 6+, almost a decade at this point. It's like, dude, get some new fashion, bro. It would be great if it wasn't so damn expensive, but this place, Hanfu Modern, had some really cool stuff. And I was like, yo, some of the stuff looks slick as fuck. Got like a winter pants, loose casual corduroy bloomers. Now, they look very comfy and flowy. And I'm like, that's my thing. They also have this one called a loose casual linen pant, harem trouser. Those just look kind of like, they remind me kind of like like pants for like a karate gi almost. Or maybe like hakama pants, but not as blousey. They're just kind of loose, flowy. They look crisp. I'm like, oh, these are fresh, dude. Get a couple pair, like a couple blue ones, a black one, a couple pair, like maybe a couple two blue ones, a black one, and a white pair. Just so you wanted to just look slick going out one day. I'm partly wondering if like, hey, if I could come up with my own like design pattern on them, like, could I get them to stitch that on there? Maybe I could have them added to my Streamlabs store. Who knows, man? Maybe I come up with a fly enough design. They'll be like, yo, we'll put your stuff on here. I'm like, cool, do that. And then go ahead and send me some of that stuff at a markdown price. Because I'm going to wear that joint with me everywhere I go. Imagine having like a Hunton-style jacket. If you've never seen a Hunton-style jacket, you should go check it out. It's pretty fly. But a Hunton-style jacket with my fucking studio logo on the back, or QR code stitched on the back. Even if I couldn't get it stitched, if I at least get it screen printed on there, it'd be kind of fly. I don't know if it would work, but maybe I have to look at somebody who can help me design my own clothing. I tried that once, and they were like, we'll do this, and you're going to have to, they're like, you won't hold any inventory, but we need to charge you X amount of design, X amount of money to put this on the shit. I'm like, before I even make piece one? Okay, but like, I'll have to catch you guys later. I ain't got that much money on me. I was like, maybe we could run like a test run for like X months. He's like, we only work in bulk. I'm like, well, in that case, I can't do it. Sorry. I would love to, but I just can't afford fucking, it was like $6,000. I'm like, Shit. I know my designs are worth money. I don't know if they're worth $6,000 money right now, but I'll get to that point. And I'll holler at y'all later. I still have their number somewhere too. I have to call them at some point. Oh, guess what? Artemis 2 is heading back. Yay. I couldn't possibly give a fuck less. I feel conflicted in trying to celebrate mankind's achievements, especially American achievement, when, and I gesture around to everything in our government and in our country, like the entire fucking country's on fire. And like, they just went to fly around the moon for fucking what? We got pictures of the dark side of the moon. Who gives a shit? Have you looked at the dark side of your own hometown? Like, there's people like actively hungry and homeless right now on this planet. Who gives a fuck about what's happening up there? All these fucking nerds wanting to go to Mars? Look, as a nerd myself, screw you guys. You know what? Go. Just go. Just leave the rest of us alone. And we should stop caring about it. Honestly, I think if we all collectively were just like, fuck it, who gives a shit about space travel? You haven't even figured out how to live like people here. That's why I can't get behind the idea. I mean, it's cool and shit. Like, yeah, wait, ooh, that's awesome. I'm not going. I want to still figure out what's going on down here first. We ain't got this shit on lock. Why are we looking out there? We haven't ruined enough shit here. You got to go out there and fuck shit up too. Stay where you're at. Mind your business. You know what I mean? Like, you could try. You should definitely travel. Definitely learn about other cultures and immerse yourself in them. But stop trying to go to other planets, man. I guarantee you, if there's any life out there, they don't want our ass right there right now. They're like, you're not evolved enough yet. There's like a one-celled organism on another planet that we haven't found yet that's going to be like, ugh, humans? Why? Why would you? Now this whole fantasy of Star Trek, one of their captains goes around and just bangs every alien in the galaxy? Gross. That's probably how they would look at us too if they got to watch our TV shows. Anyway, yeah, I just noticed that. I mentioned Artemis 2. I'm like, why? I realized as soon as I wrote it down, I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I care about shit like Double Stuff Oreos being on some bullshit. If you've ever picked up a Double Stuff Oreo recently, you are mad. I showed it to my wife the other day. I'm like, this is a Double Stuff Oreo. Remember when this thing, the filling in a Double Stuff Oreo used to be the size of an actual Oreo cookie? Like the entire thing, top to bottom. You know, cookie, filling, and cookie. The double stuff used to be like, pfft. You could scrape that shit out and spread it on toast for real. Not just in the Weird Al song. You could take a double stuff Oreo, crack it in half. It'll cover an entire slice of bread. Not anymore. That's so weird, so bogus. It drives me crazy too, because it's like, now you think about stuff like, I would love to go and spend money on this, but like, everything's so fucking expensive, don't make sense. I was looking at Borderlands 4 because I was playing it on stream just recently. I might do that again today too. I'm like, is this DLC worth the buy? And I looked at all the other comments and stuff like that. The reviews, I don't really mind. Whatever. Reviews are funny to read. And maybe I'll do another review. What was it? I think it was like a bad game reviews or whatever. Or like brutal game reviews. We'll have to do another brutal game review at some point. And they were kind of dragging some of the new DLC. Not the most recent one, but like one of the older ones. It was like, oh yeah, it's just bullet spongy. There's a weird damage mechanic. Don't bother buying. Wait till they either put it on sale or include it with like some other thing. I'm like, ugh. That's not great. Gearbox, and you know, used to have a really good reputation for putting out quality content for the Borderlands games, and it seems like that's fallen off. That seems like everywhere, though. It's really bizarre. Just like Xbox. I've been talking about shit about them for a hot minute. They're bringing back their Fan Fest this June. So, this is the gaming portion, if you haven't figured it out by now. Since the convention that used to be known as E3 has gone the way of the dodo, the Electronics Entertainment Expo, Because they realize that each individual manufacturer and even some of the larger AAA game developing companies could host their own singular events and more people would get more eyes on the stuff they wanted as opposed to going to like one gigantic event where not everybody would be able to see everything because they're all competing for mindshare. Like, if you want to see our shit, just come to our thing. We'll do it on a different day and you can come on that day. And it was getting to the point where other companies were like, yeah, we'll have all of our stuff at E3, but if you want to just see our shit, we'll be there like a day before or we'll stay a day later if you could check it out there. Instead of having to walk the show floor and deal with all that bullshit, you can just come just to us. So now Xbox is trying to bring back FanFest. Like, that's the squeaky wheel that needed the grease, right? Has nothing to do with your weird plans for AI and Project Helix and fucking Game Pass into the ground. Has nothing to do with the fact that you've basically killed off your entire customer service department, so there's not a single human being working there. It's just fucking Cortana and other AI robots. Nothing to do with that. Those couldn't possibly be the problem. You know what the fans need? You know what the fans of Xbox really need? What they really want? A convention in some place far the fuck away from them so they can spend more money to look at our shit that we haven't finished yet. That's what they need. Dickheads. And you know what? I was saying that for a while now. I'm like, I think Xbox has really kind of not only lost its way, I think it's actually dying. But after seeing this, and it's still a couple months away, I really sincerely hope, because it hasn't happened yet. So they had to use photo footage, like video footage from like years past. It would be hilarious to find out that like only like a handful of people bothered to show up. Like they're planning this event for like in the thousands of people and then to find out like maybe 200 people showed up. I would cry laughing. And if it happens, and I pray it does, I promise you I will talk about that shit. I promise you, I'll do my best to even, you know what? I would even almost go so far as to get a hotel in the city where they're doing it, not go and just interview people walking out of it. Like, what's going on in there? They're like, man, ain't shit in there. That would make me so happy. I don't know. I'd probably be able to actually shit a literal diamond. Oh, that's so great. And it's funny because there's stuff that I want to see and I want to do well, but I just don't have any love for Xbox like that because they just don't. They've proven that they don't give a shit. It's like at every turn they've decided like, you know what? Fuck the fans. What do you guys want? Yeah, we don't give a shit. Cool. Enjoy going broke. Because you will. Eventually you will. Anyway, I'm bummed about that idea, but I can't get around the fact that I feel like it's going to actually happen. I've been leaning more into my Nintendo Switch, and I remember again like why I loved the Switch and why I love the games on it. Not that there aren't complex games, you know what I mean? Not that there aren't like thought-provoking moments that can be had in the games that are on the Switch. One, the portability is great. I can play it in my office, I can play it in the living room, play it in my, bedroom, because we have a dock in each one of those places. I can play it at the, counter in the kitchen. I can play it on the toilet if I wanted to. I can take it on the road with me, and I've got like my controllers work great, I mean, there's obviously some stuff that could be fixed or upgraded or whatever, but what can't have everything, right? Where would you put it all? But yeah, I've been enjoying more of that. I've even seen people talking about getting a Nintendo Switch too. Now, I can't bother to be bothered with that. One thing that would really piss me off is that I would only ever get it just so I could buy the handful of games that are going to be out for it in the next year. And there aren't many that I'm super excited about right away. Like, obviously, I want to play, like, the new Mario Kart World or whatever. Like, that looks cool. I could give a shit less about Donkey Kong. I've never really cared about Donkey Kong as a character in the video game. So I'm like, whatever. That's for somebody else. It's not for me. Hades 2. I would probably get that. But I would get it on my Nintendo Switch first, because I already have it on my Nintendo, the first one on my Nintendo Switch. So I think, like, why, Like, if anything, I would probably get, like, a physical copy of it as opposed to digital. But, I mean, I'm not going to pay an extra $20 just to play it on the Switch, too. The fuck you mean? it looked practically the same on the Nintendo Switch. And I think that's the biggest issue that I've had with the Switch too, is that it's like, I get the idea of wanting to put in new hardware, and some of the hardware upgrades themselves are decent. You know what I mean? The magnetic controllers, the increased haptic feedback. There's a new controller. There's actually, like, for the thumbsticks, there's a new technology that's put into that that makes them, one, more, more accurate, more responsive, but two, makes them less susceptible to damage and stick drift. If you've ever heard about that, it's a thing where you have a certain input and the mechanics of it kind of make it feel like it's locked into one spot, and your controller, your character on your screen responds as though your controller is still moving in that direction, even though you're not actually touching the stick that moves things. I know it seems like a pretty weird explanation. Basically, yeah, it'd be like if you know, the best way to put it is like if you are driving down the street and you let go of the steering wheel and you're not touching it, but suddenly your car starts pulling to the left or right, like it's out of alignment. It's that. It's basically a bad alignment of your joystick. How about that? I did it. I got there. I feel like the Switch 2 is not actually a fully fledged new console generation, though. I feel like it's what the Switch should have been had they waited like another 2 years to release it and put a little bit more R&D into it. And they just sat on these ideas, and now it's like a Switch 1.5 as opposed to a Switch 2, which means it's a wasted bit of hardware, kind of like the Wii U. So the Nintendo Wii was a great innovation, and it was fun, and people loved it, right? Maybe it didn't sell as well as they were hoping, but it did fairly well. The Wii U was a step in the middle, and it was just not well received because it really wasn't much of a perceptible upgrade, with the exception of the giant fucking honking tablet that you used to play with it. And nobody really wanted that in the first place. They just wanted a handheld, really a handheld. So then they come out with the Nintendo Switch. They're like, this does both. It's console and handheld. What? Like, they had this stopgap console there with the Wii U. They just waited. Just wait a little bit. Why Nintendo so greedy, though? Nintendo greedy as fuck. They're so greedy, they sue other people for shit that they didn't even come up with. They sued, you guys don't maybe remember this if you're not a gamer. Nintendo actually tried to sue for the idea of throwing a ball to capture and summon creatures. They're basically trying to sue for the idea of summoning a creature originally. They're also trying to sue for a separate patent for throwing a ball to catch a creature. But that was also a concept that was actually pulled from Dungeons and Dragons like 20 plus years prior to that. There's actually a concept in Dungeons and Dragons where you can use like an orb or a crystal to capture a creature and ensconce it in that particular orb or crystal and then release it. They try to say, we came up with that. I'm like, nope. Pretty sure D&D did that first. And if it wasn't them, Square Enix did it before that. Which means, if anything, since Square Enix wasn't owned by Nintendo, how they just licensed properties to Nintendo, you got to talk to them. Nintendo, stop being so greedy, man. We would love you a lot more if you weren't. I really do want to still see Super Mario Galaxy the movie and get the Mario Galaxy games. I mean, maybe I could talk myself into it after next month. I don't know. Tax season kind of came and went, so that money has already been allocated. But who knows? Maybe I'll get these. Maybe these new designs will be the thing that drive people's merchandise. Maybe merchandise sales will pick up after I get these new designs up in here. You have to let me know what you think, too. So when you get a chance to do that, pop on over to patreon.com/wandering1studios. Send me an email. Let me know what you think. Comments, questions, whatever you got. Love to hear from you. And then answer the question. We've done this before. What is, if you had to teach a course on a domestic skill, what would it be? We talked one about if you could teach a course at a drop of a hat, right? A course about anything at the drop of a hat, what would it be? I'm going to make this more pointed because I actually heard Bill Burr talk about this on his podcast, the Monday Morning Podcast. He's like, domestic skills. Because a lot of people I've found over the last like decade or so, their ability to do household shit is dead. It's either dead or non-existent. Like, it's either not being taught or they have no concept of it. In college, I dated a girl. This is a real quick aside before we wrap the podcast. I dated a girl who didn't know how to wash her own fucking laundry. She was 18. I was like, how do you not know how to wash your own clothes? She's like, my mom always does it for me. I'm like, what the fuck? And I met her mom. I'm like, oh, yeah. Now I get why your mom doesn't like me either. Because your mom wants to be able to keep you on a leash. I want you to be a little bit more independent and free thinking. So, yeah, I guess she wouldn't like me for that shit. At one time, I had to take like her laundry because she didn't have the ability to go back home. I don't remember why. I think car was out of gas, some shit like that. I forget. But anyway, she couldn't go back home to have her mom wash her laundry, so I took it with me to my dorm to wash it. And when you're in like segregated dorms, as far as like, you know, boys and girls dorms, ain't nothing like watching one of your homies unload a bunch of his girlfriend's panties and bras into the laundry machine. And like, what's that is? I'm like, mind your fucking business. You know? That was actually kind of embarrassing. So I had to like teach her how to wash her own laundry because her mom hadn't taught her. But I was like, you know, what are the, I think Bill said like his thing was, it's like the wife, when they have like, you know, the meals with the kids or whatever, the wife gets the kids prepped and ready for bed. He's like, I'm more of the kitchen guy. He's like, I do the cooking, I do the cleaning and stuff like that. He's like, I take care of that stuff. He's like, because at one point, he's like, I realized, he's like, you know, when you could tell when somebody doesn't want to do something because they'll do a really shit job at it. And then it ends up making more work for you. And you're like, I'll fucking strangle you because I got to do extra shit because you can't do this one thing. I was laughing. I was like, oh, my God. I used to have a roommate like that. Ugh. I had two roommates like that. They were swell enough guys on their own, but they would just leave dishes for me to fucking clean up. Because at the end of the day, I still got to eat too. But they'd be like, they would just leave shit and then they would take off and I'd be have like a sink full of dishes. At one point, I just didn't wash dishes for like a week because I'm like, I'm not fucking doing it. It's not fair to me. I would only wash whatever I needed to eat with or cook with and that would be it. It's like, it's not fair to me that you filthy bastards will eat, drink and all this bullshit and then leave it here. And at one point, by a week, it had grown mold in the sink. I said, if this ever happens again, I will throw away every dish that looks like this because I'm not going to clean up after you. I'm not your fucking maid. I'm not your servant. I'm not your wife. You know what I mean? Get your shit together. And that bothered me. And when he said that, I was like, eh, I can see how that would make you crazy because when I live with them, I was like, this is the kind of shit I would never want to put up with. You know what I mean? You're just lazy, so you just leave shit for me to have to take care of. Like I said earlier, like I don't have enough shit of my own that I'm dealing with, thinking about, trying to handle. Now you're going to leave some extra bullshit for me. Back then, I was working two jobs. And I was trying to figure out how to pay off my student loans because they were going to be coming due soon because I was out of college. Kicked the fuck out, but whatever. And how I could get my car legally registered, which ended up getting towed. And these soulless bitches didn't tell me until it was already gone. And I come back from work to find my car just gone. And then, by the way, that lot vandalized my car. They stole a bunch of shit out of it. And I wanted to go back and burn it down. But I never got a chance to do that. I wasn't going to really do it, but I kind of wanted to. I felt like I deserved to. Anyway, kind of getting a little carried away here. But yeah, I was like, doing shit like that, like either half doing poorly or not doing at all a chore, just leave something for somebody else to have to take care of. And in a weird fucking way, it's kind of like, fuck you, it's not my problem. You deal with it. I promise you right now that it's not going to win any points at me. And that was what I had to tell him. It was like, you are not going to do this to me. And like, I put up with it for long enough. At one point, I'll just start throwing shit away because I feel like the amount of time it would take for you to do this so I didn't have to do it, or for you to do it correctly so I don't have to come back and redo it after you. I don't know how many times I get like a skillet out to make breakfast in the morning before I go to work, because I was working at this restaurant called the 99s, and it would still have eggs crusted on the inside because they didn't bother to fucking scrub the shit. Like, all you have to do is just put a little bit of elbow grease on this and this will come right off. I flicked it off with my finger, so that means it would have come off anyway. And it sat in here and dried to the point where it just flaked off and it would have been in my fucking food. Do you know how disgusting that is? Shit like that. You know what I mean? Just like half doing some shit. Make you want to fucking strangle somebody in their fucking sleep. It's like, if you're not going to do it, just say, I'm not going to do it. I'm like, all right, now we have an understanding. But don't fuck around and half do this shit or just leave some shit for me to like do because you know it's going to aggravate me. I'm going to go in the same kitchen. I need to make some macaroni and cheese. You done left the pot in here with whatever the fuck you made in it earlier. And it's been there for 2 days. And now it's got shit floating in it. Bro, just take 3 minutes and wash the shit. I don't know how many times I've said that. But I got it from these dudes. It's like, just take a couple extra seconds out of your day. How fucking selfish do you have to be that you can't go like, I can just do this right now and it's done. I don't have to hear nobody bitch about it. I don't have to hear nobody be mad about it. Nobody's going to be passive aggressively like slamming pots and pans when I'm trying to sleep because I have a shift in the security and my security job at night. And he comes in at 8 o'clock in the evening trying to make something he can't eat. And he's banging pots and pans around waking me up. You don't have to deal with that shit. Just a couple extra seconds to be just a tiny bit considerate of somebody else. It's not going to kill you and it will improve your relationship overall. And it was so bad that I moved out. I was just like, I didn't even tell him. I'm like, fuck you guys. You know what I mean? I'm out. And I'm taking the cable with me because you didn't give a fuck enough about me. I don't give a fuck about you. Taking the cable, shutting off the lights, all that shit's in my name. Kiss my ass. I'm out. Anyway, ramble all the way around that. Domestic skills class. So yeah, mine would be loading a dishwasher. Because Bill said his thing was like doing the dishes. He's like, I do the dishes because, you know, my wife half does them. And then I end up having to redo the shit myself. I'm like, ugh, I hate it for you, bro. I hate it for you. My thing is loading the dishwasher. And it's not because people do a bad job. I think people don't understand how the flow of water in a dishwasher works. And I'm fairly mechanically inclined. And I really enjoy physics. While I don't completely, I wouldn't say I'm like, I would be able to work for NASA or anything like that. I have a pretty decent understanding of physics in general. And so like when I load a dishwasher, I load it to make sure I get as much in there as I can with at the same time still being able to provide optimal flow of water and soap throughout everything. So everything gets cleaned and mostly drying. I still have an idea for like an air powered drying system inside of a dishwasher. Once I figure out how to do that shit, I'll be rich. Once I figure out how to patent that idea, that's going to be worth it. And God forbid I fuck around and figure out how to build a prototype of it. I mean, the amount of money you'll save just by running some fans as opposed to running hot, like making everything hot as shit inside, warming it up just enough to run fans and just let that air dissipate out. Ooh, baby, I'm going to be fucking balling. Don't take that idea, by the way. This is a Wandering One podcast. That's an original idea of mine. You try to steal it, I'm coming for your ass. Anyway, yeah, if you got any ideas about a household, like a domestic skills chore or a course that you could teach, you know what I mean? Like you were doing home ec or something like that. What would be your thing? Maybe you got a really great way of like workflow when it comes to like the laundry. You know what? One thing is, okay, I'm going to brag on my little one for a little bit. So, Caller Smalls, my stepdaughter, used to do like apartment house cleaning and stuff like that. She had her own little service for a little while. And the one thing she was fucking great at that I could never do, and I haven't told her this, and I will at some point because I was super jealous of it, was that she could vacuum in such a way that she never left a footprint in the room she went into. I don't have that kind of foresight and planning. I just don't. It's just a thing I ain't got in me. But she would vacuum, and when she was done, like, the floor wouldn't have a single footprint on it. I'm like, how did you do that? And it would look great. It was almost like she had done like latte art, but with the fucking carpet. Unbelievable. Could you teach somebody how to do that? Teach me how to be more patterned in my workflow so I get it to look like that. Because that's incredible. I always thought that was really impressive, you know? But anyway, send me a message about what your household chore or domestic, your domestic housework kind of course that you would teach. Teach a person how to do a skill that you do as a domestic chore or task that you're like, I got this shit on lock. Can't nobody tell me shit about this. I could teach you how to load your dishwasher. Not just a dishwasher, your dishwasher in particular. Because I think a lot of people don't think about that. And it'd be cool if you did. We'd all be a lot cooler if you tried. And then, yeah, man, remember to drink some water. Call your folks. You know what I mean? If they're in your life, call your folks, friends, family, somebody. Call a friend, call a brother, sister, mom, dad. Tell them you love them. Drink some water. Stay out of the sun. Vote the bastards out, and I'll catch you guys a little further on down the road. Peace.